Are you enjoying this podcast? Well, you have KUOW members to thank for that. KUOW members make the trusted local journalism and storytelling you hear on this show possible. Become a member today and help support the production of this podcast. It only takes a minute. Make a donation at KUOW.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thanks.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Diana Opong in for Libby Denkman. Sell your company or face a ban throughout the United States. Those are the options available to ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok. Yesterday, President Joe Biden signed a measure into law that would ban the social media giant in the U.S. unless the company is sold within a year. TikTok CEO Shou Zhichu immediately posted, what else? A TikTok pledging to fight this legislation.
Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again.
But for local content makers, the law is introducing uncertainty to the future of their business model. We'll hear from some Western Washington TikTok creators in just a few minutes. But joining me now to break down this law is Cristiano Lima Strong. He's a tech policy reporter with The Washington Post and author of The Washington Post's Technology 202 newsletter, which focuses on the intersection of tech, politics, and policy. Cristiano, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Walk me through exactly what is in this legislation. What are TikTok's options right now?
Yeah, so with President Biden signing it yesterday, it gives the company 270 days initially to divest. So this is TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, which is based in Beijing. At that point, if the president, 9 months from now, if they feel that the company is making progress towards a divestiture, but it hasn't wrapped, the president could extend that by 90 days, so bring it up to about a year. But TikTok has already said that it plans to challenge this law, which it has long said would effectively ban the app. And so we're going to see this turn into likely a contentious, a high stakes, and potentially lengthy legal battle over the future of this app that's used by roughly 170 million Americans.
Yeah, I was going to get into that. There are currently 1 billion monthly active TikTok users worldwide. And as you mentioned, 170 million of them are here in the States. Can the U.S. actually tell a company to sell or be banned? And will that even do anything? It's not like the government can delete apps from people's phones if they already have it.
Yeah, so proponents of the legislation will say that there is some precedent for this in other industries, but it's fairly unprecedented for a platform, a public-facing social media platform of this scale has never faced a test like this. And so certainly we've already seen TikTok make First Amendment arguments that, those millions of users that use the site have free expression rights and free speech rights and to continue expressing themselves on the platform, and that this restriction would violate that. And so we're going to see those be tested in court. Now, the proponents will say that they are not trying to ban the company. They are pushing for a forced sale to sever ties with ByteDance, which, again, is based in China and has stoked national security concerns because of that.
Is a year even enough time to make such a critical sale, Cristiano?
So it's difficult to say. Certainly, there have been efforts in the past to sell the company. The Trump administration tried to force a sale, and there had been bidders at the time. But we've heard from analysts that a sale in that time frame could be exceedingly difficult. And we've also yet to see sort of how open ByteDance is going to be to sell the company. China potentially could actually block a sale, even if the company were to try to complete one. And so there's a lot of factors here that could slow down or trip up a sale or make it very difficult to do in that time frame.
Let's say ByteDance decides to, not bite. They don't sell TikTok within the allotted time window. How would the ban be enforced?
So how the ban would work would be that app store companies, so primarily Google and Apple, they would be prohibited from offering TikTok on their stores. And if they did not meet that restriction. They could face very hefty fines. And then internet hosting service providers, they would also not be able to offer the app. And so basically, the idea is that you wouldn't be able to download it as an app on your phone. You wouldn't be able to pull it up on the internet on a web browser.
TikTok CEO Xiaojiu posted a TikTok yesterday after the law was passed, saying the company would seek legal action. What could this legal battle look like?
Yeah, so we're going to see this play out on several fronts. There are the First Amendment concerns about users' rights to free expression. That's likely to be key here in terms of a potential ban. On the divestiture front, there's going to be a bar that the government is going to have to meet to show that this was sort of the least restrictive path because of the fact that it could have First Amendment, free speech considerations. There are also questions about due process because this is a law that specifically targets TikTok. There are questions about whether, the company has had the ability to argue its case in court, whether it's fair to its due process rights. And so we're likely to see all of those unfold over the course of, potentially many months as this plays out in court.
Do you think TikTok has a good case here?
Well, TikTok has been able to beat back restrictions and attempts to force a sale or ban in the past. They did so during the Trump administration when former President Trump tried to do something similar. And they've also beat back an effort, for now at the state level with Montana, which tried to impose some similar restrictions. And so they have a history of winning these cases. Now, the lawmakers who passed this say that they have, worked for months to try to address some of the concerns that were raised about those prior attempts, including by focusing more on the divestiture front, forcing a sale, and giving the company a broader window to try to complete that. And so we'll have to see if those adjustments are able to overcome some of the constitutional concerns that we've heard judges affirm in the past.
And the American government isn't the only one that has a say in what happens with ByteDance. Last year, the Chinese Commerce Ministry said it would firmly oppose selling the app. Could China block the sale of TikTok?
Yes, China could block a sale. And we've heard, as you've alluded to, rhetoric from China that particularly TikTok's coveted algorithm is something that they are keen to not allow to be sold. I mean, this is a very powerful and engaging technology that has allowed TikTok to become one of the most prominent, used, influential social media platforms in the world. And so then that raises questions about, could there be a sale where that technology is kept in the hands of ByteDance to some extent? But, we'll have to see if there are bidders that would be interested in such a sale structure.
And according to a report by the New York Times on Friday, China's Cyberspace Administration asked Apple to remove Meta's WhatsApp and Threads from its App Store, citing national security reasons. Could this be retaliation?
Yeah, I think that's an open question, and we'll have to see what the full response from China is to this law that's just been signed into effect. Certainly, the US and China have sparred for years over controls on export controls on technological tools. And certainly, this could escalate tensions, particularly given that there's been comments from some of the proponents of this legislation that say that a sale should go to an American company. And so, that raises questions about to what extent is this being done for national security interests, or and to what extent did it be done for, protectionist or business interests, in that this is a very profitable company that suddenly could shift to the control of an American conglomerate of some sort.
So let's move the conversation a little over to politics that's maybe behind some of this. From an outside perspective, it feels like this legislation passed really quickly. To get a bill from the House floor to the president's desk with bipartisan support in just a month seems almost impossible with our current divided Congress. You write that there was a lot going on behind the scenes to get this legislation passed. What was happening?
So first of all, there have been efforts to pass legislation to give the federal government more power to target TikTok in one way or another for years. Now, a number of those floundered or sort of took on water because of opposition over various concerns, including some of the constitutional considerations, but also concerns that passing a law like this could give the federal government power to ban or restrict other companies, and that could be sort of problematic, set a bad precedent. But lawmakers really for several months now have been working on this legislation quietly behind the scenes to try to take from some of those prior proposals, socializing their ideas for how to address concerns that lawmakers had raised in the past, and to get something together in a position where once they introduced it, they were able to very quickly move it through committee, get it through the House, and then we're able to get the support of the Senate, in part by bundling it with this foreign aid package that just passed as well as a part of this, which sort of expedited its ability to get through the chamber.
And there's a big generational divide on U.S. support for Israel's military actions in Gaza. We can see it on college campuses around the country right now. And some U.S. lawmakers have been saying they believe TikTok is using its algorithm to push content that is more critical of America and Israel, especially content on Gaza. Here's Nebraska Republican Senator Pete Ricketts speaking on the Senate floor yesterday.
These videos have more reach than the top 10 U.S. news websites combined. This is not coincidence. The Chinese Communist Party is doing this on purpose. They are pushing this racist agenda with the intention of undermining our democratic values. And if you look at what's happening at Columbia University and other campuses across the country right now, they're winning.
Of course, protesters who are trying to call attention to the plight of Gazans would strongly disagree with Senator Ricketts here. Is there any evidence that TikTok's algorithm is pushing propaganda?
So there has not been any evidence presented that the Chinese government has manipulated or forced the company to manipulate its algorithm to surface more of this content. Now, lawmakers have criticized the extent to which content critical of Israel, supportive of Gaza, has surfaced on the platform, and certainly some of those hashtags associated with that have been very popular on the site. But you've heard pushback against that argument that this is a sentiment that is widely shared among young people, and TikTok is a platform that's popular among young people. So some have argued that it's natural that you would see that pop up on the site.
Has anything like this happened before in history where the U.S. government has told a company they have to sell or be banned?
Yeah, so there have been forced divestitures in the past. The US does have some laws against foreign ownership of broadcasters, for example. There is some legal precedent for this, but I don't know that there's ever been a case quite like this where a platform that is this visible, that has a presence in the homes of so many, and that so many use as a means of communication publicly or expression, has faced an ultimatum like this from the federal government.
We reached out to some local TikTokers, Cristiano, for this story as well. And one thing that all of them brought up is that they don't understand why, with all the issues facing the U.S., the government chose to focus on TikTok. There's a lot of frustration and uncertainty here from creators. What are you going to be focused on as the story continues to unfold?
Yeah, and that's something that we've heard from lawmakers as well. Even proponents of the measure say, Senator Cantwell from Washington, for example, talked about needing to make the case to the American public about why this is a step that officials feel is needed. And there had been some discussion about holding hearings or trying to make that case to the American public. Now, of course, lawmakers went ahead, and so they're going to have to make that case going forward. But what I'll be watching for is certainly to see how this court battle plays out. This is something that's going to be, could have a massive implications for free expression on the internet. Given that this law not only targets TikTok, but could give the government to target other platforms as well. And so we'll be tracking that very closely.
Cristiano Lima Strong is a tech policy reporter with The Washington Post and author of the Washington Post Technology 202 newsletter, focusing on the intersection of tech, politics, and policy. Cristiano, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Local TikTok creators told us how they're feeling about all of this right now. Overall, the basic answers we've heard is not great.
I don't want to pretend that I know better than politicians whose jobs are to make these bills and pass them, but it's been frustrating for the consumer and also for the creator to see something like this passing when there are so many readily threatening things that are going on in the country that the government just can't agree on fixing.
That's Amelia Sampson. She posts comedy videos on the app and has amassed a following of over 556,000 people. She started using TikTok during the pandemic as a way to find community after a hard breakup. And that was something all of the creators we spoke to had in common. They started as viewers looking for something to do during lockdown.
It really builds community and helps build community. There was a huge need for that because we couldn't get out and be next to each other. And I think that's only grown. So what kind of sucks about this legislation is that it's going to splinter that a little bit. A lot of ways.
Anthony Love runs the TikTok channel Traveling While Black, along with his partner, Marley Love.
Our show is based on us traveling to different locations, sometimes in the Pacific Northwest and sometimes around the world, where we document our experiences as Black individuals visiting a location for the first time.
Anthony and Marley say the app has given them visibility outside of the Seattle area. More than 68,000 people follow their travels on TikTok. Marley says she worries about how the app's uncertain future will impact their business.
Will brands still work with creators that are on TikTok? Because at any moment, it could go away.
Amelia Sampson has similar fears about what this legislation will mean for her business.
It's interesting watching these different platforms, like specifically YouTube and Instagram, try to keep up with what TikTok's done so that maybe we can fill that gap in our business in a different way. But we've all watched TikTok take off at a speed that nothing else really ever has before in the social media space. So I don't know if that gap will have been filled enough to be able to sustain us as creators. Like, I have 550,000 followers on TikTok and like 75,000 on Instagram. So trying to bridge that gap is going to be interesting for a lot of us.
TikToker Hunter Kaimi says his feelings about the TikTok bill goes beyond just what this will do to his personal business.
The banning of TikTok is so much bigger than me and my platform. It has to do with these huge First Amendment rights, taking money directly out of small businesses and people who are feeding their family with this app. That is really, I think, the issue.
Hunter posts political commentary as well as comedy videos to an audience of over 1 million people. He also has his own media company in Bellingham, where he runs local businesses' social media accounts. He says this decision will impact how young people view the U.S. government.
We have issues, you know, that are pressing every single person in this country, or many. I mean, student loans, we have inflation, homelessness, drug epidemics, gun violence, abortion rights. We have so many issues that are affecting so many people's lives, not just their livelihoods, but their actual lives at stake. And the fact that this is where our government is prioritizing their time really shows us where their priorities lie. And I think if anything, it makes us distrust them even more. I think their whole kind of angle and approach is that, oh, we can't trust the Chinese government for having our information or whatever. At the end of the day, I think what this shows the majority of the people that are understanding what's happening is that we can't trust our own government.
A big thanks to all the local TikTokers that spoke to us today.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.